Hello, and welcome to Real Talk, where curiosity chases truth every Tuesday at noon on KVSH 101.9 FM and on voiceofvashon.org at your convenience. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, and I'm so grateful that you're joining me. Today, we're going to explore the changing face of Vashon Island, literally, through the eyes of artist Pam Mingles, whose current show at the Hardware Store restaurant features 76 people new to Vashon Island. Who are they? Why did they choose Vashon? And what does their presence here say about the changing nature of our community? Welcome, Pam Mingles.
Thanks, Susan.
So, my first question is, what prompted you to do this show?
Yeah, well, I've been doing a portrait show every year for the last, I think it's, this is the 14th one. And many, the very first one was of Vashon Islanders. And then a lot of the other shows have been travel shows where I went to a small community someplace else.
Yeah.
Like Africa.
I remember.
In Kenya, which you came with me and brought back the portraits here. This year, of course, I couldn't travel because of COVID. So I decided to paint people that have moved to Vashon, especially those that moved during COVID, because I've heard from friends that it's difficult to kind of break into Vashon, to find your community, to find your friends. And I just thought this might be a way to shift our awareness a little bit, the people that have lived here a long time, and maybe introduce a few people that you might normally not run into.
Oh, that's really interesting. And I actually noted that one of the folks whose portrait you painted was running the Juneteenth event at the Vashon Farmers Market, and I can't remember her name.
Christine. You know, I only go by everybody's first name because it goes online, and I don't really want their identities in case they might not want their identities out there.
Oh, that makes
but
sense.
Christina is her name, and her wife Latrice moved here just about a year ago, and they had such an interesting story. One of my favorite stories of all the people that I painted. Because they came here from for a wedding at the lodges, and they were in Chicago, and their friend that was getting married grew up in Tacoma but was in Denver. So they came a few years ago, and they just loved it and decided this is where they wanted to move to. So I think it was about a year later, they moved here, and they had their baby here during COVID, Zoli, and I don't know, it was a great example of somebody who of what attracts people to Vashon. They had no connection to Vashon except that they came for a wedding, destination wedding at the lodge.
A wedding of somebody who didn't live here either.
Exactly.
But they came from Chicago?
Yeah, they came from Chicago. Let me just make sure about that, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
That's where I came from.
Yeah, they moved here in 2019 in late 2019.
That's incredible. So among those folks that you painted, how many moved here during COVID, during the pandemic?
I'd say at least half of them
really
moved here during at the end of 2019 until now. There was one woman I asked, now, how long have you lived on Vashon? And she said 2 weeks.
Wow.
Ryan was her husband, and he has a new job as an intern at Matsuda Farms. So,
So they're not all tech people.
No, they're not all tech people.
That's
not really,
really interesting. Go ahead.
There were a lot of people that were families. So this show, I was thinking about it just this morning. I've never really painted so many small families in a show. So they're set up on the wall, you know, the family is all together. So there's quite a few families with two kids or one kid. Many, how do you say it? Gay and lesbian. I forget how you're supposed to
LGBTQ.
Put it. LGBTQIA plus or something like that.
Oh, wow, there's more.
There's more. But anyway, there were many diverse families.
And there were people of color as well.
Yes.
all mixed into that, which is great. That means Vashon's diversity is beginning to blossom. Well, okay.
So I was talking to Bruce Hallman about that this morning because I was trying to figure out, how do I talk about this? I mean, two white ladies talking about diversity on Vashon. And he said that that particular community, LGBTQIA plus community, has been growing since the 80s. And that a lot of it has to do with what he called chain migration. So people know somebody and then they move here and they feel comfortable because they know a few people, or they realize that there's a lot of people like them here, and that's why they move here.
That's interesting.
But there's still, as far as it's a very small percentage of Black people that live here, probably less than 2%. And Asian, it's growing, 2 or 3%. The Native Americans,
almost none.
He said that in the last census, there were 200 people on Vashon that identified as Native Americans.
Really?
But only 2 of those 200 were Coast Salish, actually from here.
Right.
So, you know, they came from Alaska or California or Eastern Washington. Anyway, I thought that was really interesting. The show itself, I didn't paint any Native Americans, but there were quite a few people from Philippines, families from South America, Argentina and Peru. And I know.
How did they get here?
Most of them heard about it, or they had some connection to somebody here already, or they had someone in their family that was that lived on Vashon.
So did they move here from Seattle or Tacoma, or did they move directly from South America?
They moved from South America.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Claudia brought her, she's married to Kingsley. People probably might know who he is because they've lived here a little while. She brought her dad from Peru, and then they had a baby too.
And does Kingsley run Vashon Eats?
Eats, yeah. He runs Vashon Eats. So they were really excited about their portraits, and they were so beautiful. They met when they were both models.
Oh.
So they were perfect models for me.
Wow.
I mean, I couldn't help but paint big paintings of them. They were just gorgeous.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I checked in with realtor Connie Cunningham at Windermere Real Estate today, and she said, echoes a lot of what you're saying, which is the folks who are moving here now are young families who are coming here. How did she put this? For what she calls more elbow room, more privacy, and for our good schools. Because they're raising their kids here. And with them, she said, comes parents and grandparents who want to be close to their grandchildren and their families. They're getting smaller houses. They're coming from places like California and Arizona. And they may or may not stay here full time.
Right.
So how did you put out the call? How did you find these people?
So I just put one little thing on Facebook one day, and I got 108 people, which was crazy for me because I'm a people pleaser and I wanted to paint everybody.
No.
So that's why I painted so many people, but it about killed me.
How did you choose
to paint? It was pretty random. It really was pretty random. You know, I should have just put the names in a hat. But if I painted somebody, like one child in a family, I felt like I had to paint the whole family, or at least the other child. And, you know, I had no idea so many people had moved here. The one community, okay, so you had to have been on Facebook or hear about it through somebody who was on Facebook. So I put it on Vashon All, I think. And the one community that I didn't get to reach that much was Latinx people here. Not just, there were people from South America, there were some people from Mexico, but not the major community here.
And we have a pretty good size Latinx community here.
Yeah, Bruce said it's probably about 18% now already.
That's incredible. But those people don't necessarily go to Facebook. Some of them don't speak English.
Right.
I know that that Voice of Vashon's Emergency Alert Service has very regularly begun to translate all the Emergency Alert Service announcements into Spanish because our community is so large.
Right.
And the schools have been translating a lot into Spanish in order to serve those communities. But they're not on Facebook.
Well, and also, so about 7 years ago, maybe it was 8 years ago, I did a show of just Latinx people.
Oh.
And that's a community that we need to, I did it because it felt like they're kind of invisible in a certain way mm-hmm. to us. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's terrible to say that, but, you know, they're not really part of our, I don't know, circles of friends that much. They don't really mix. I found that anyway.
Well, and I think that may be in part because some of them are afraid yes. of ICE.
But even the people that I painted, almost all of them were legal, almost all. And of course, I didn't ask, are you legal?
Right.
But some people explained it to me. I don't know if I should say this or not, but this sounds really weird, but I really learned from this. So I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
So one fellow was telling me that, and surprised me by saying that somebody, he's seen it many, many times, that a Latino person will kind of raise their head and show the person they're working for, the people around them, something great that they're doing. And a few weeks later, the person who they've worked for will say, oh, I don't think we need you anymore. And I was absolutely shocked. I'm like, I'm Vashon Island? So here's the rest of the story.
Yeah.
So I have somebody like twice a year, maybe once a year, come and clean my house. And she happens to be Latina. And I love her. She's wonderful. And I asked her if I could paint her kids and her for this show. And so I went to her house. And she lived in a big, beautiful house. And my first thought, this is terrible to admit, but my very first thought was, oh, maybe I should have somebody else clean my house. I didn't even realize that I had this systematic, or what do they call it?
Systemic
racism
attitude. Well, isn't it great that you caught that?
Yeah, I was shocked.
And she's still cleaning your house, right?
Oh, of course.
Great.
And not very often, but when I can afford it.
That's because of your financial status.
Yeah, exactly.
Not hers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And I think it's very woke of you. God, mm-hmm. forgive me for using these terms. To pay attention to that. I think that's the only way systemic racism can be defeated, and that is we have to recognize it within us all.
Yeah, exactly.
I have similar reactions under different circumstances,
right.
And I've had to check those. And so it sounds to me like what the Latinx community here has recognized is that those of us, or some white folks, feel as though they don't want to continue to support their prosperity.
Yeah, or maybe my feeling in that moment was that, oh, maybe I should help somebody else who needs more help. You know what I mean? That was kind of the thing that went through my head. Not that I didn't want to support her to do great,
mm-hmm.
but anyway, it's an embarrassing thing to admit. But I think that might be part of the problem. Part of the problem is a certain kind of prejudice that we don't even know we have, and they feel it. You should have somebody Latinx in here to talk about
You're
this
right.
stuff.
I
not
should,
my side.
And I will. Yeah, I would love to speak to someone in that community about the prejudices that they experience. I know that the school district is exploring that as well.
Good.
With their racial equity team, both for all people of color here on the island.
Right.
But the Latinx community is the largest right now.
Yeah, and they're such a big part of us. Really?
Yeah, they are in very many ways, and
we're lucky to have them.
You know, it's really yes, we are. It's I think on the Brown Briefly this morning they were talking about our multiracial experiment in democracy, which Lynn Kerrigan pointed out we haven't really had until 1965. But to my mind, what it's about is recognizing distinctions. Let's not pretend that we're colorblind. We're not.
Yeah.
But let's recognize those distinctions, not as differences, but as distinctions, and embrace those in our culture. That's what makes us rich. And I will now get off my soapbox and hope that that we begin to see that. By the way, folks, you are listening to Real Talk on the Voice of Vashon at 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Susan McCabe, your host here with artist Pam Mingles, who's written or painted a show of 76 new people to Vashon Island. And before we continue, I just want to mention that at 7 p.m., the day after tomorrow, Thursday night, live on KVSH, will be a brand new radio theater play called Penny Tahlequah. It's a murder mystery, I think. And it's getting great reviews before it's even been played. So tune in at 7 o'clock Thursday night right here if you're listening now on KVSH. And it will be on the voiceofvashon.org later. So, Pam, what commonalities did you note among the folks whose stories you got? Or what were your favorite stories? You told us one.
Yeah, I was just thinking about another story, Kent and Teresa, who came, an older couple, retired here from St. Louis.
Oh.
And they had a connection here, so that was part of the reason that they came. But while they were in St. Louis a few years ago, they were exploring where they want to retire to, and they came across Tom Conway's blog. What's the name of that? I should know the name of that blog.
Ooh.
I should know that, but I can't remember it right now. Anyway, so Kent wrote to Tom because he talks about Vashon, and and he's so charming the way he talks and the way he is. I think he's everybody's favorite Vashonite. Anyway, so Kent wrote to him and said, hey, we're going to be up on Vashon such and such a time. Do you think I could come and meet you? And Tom wrote back immediately. Kent said that he must have been online at that very minute. And he goes, yeah, why don't you come over for dinner?
Of course. And pie.
And pie, yeah, of course. So then Tom, I painted a few things at Tom's house. So Tom had featured on his blog a couple of my paintings. And Kent wrote to me. And I didn't know he found me through Tom. I can't remember that much. And I said, sure, come on over. And so he's like, I think we need to move to this community. And that's the kind of thing that I love about Vashon. And I was hoping that more people could just be more welcoming to people that are new. You know, and it's already helped me. I was walking the loop, the Dilworth Loop the other day. Oh, this is like about a month and a half ago. And there was somebody came up behind me, and it was during COVID. And she said something, and it wasn't exactly the same as normally we would. Usually those days we would cross the street because it's like COVID. But she came up right behind me. Oh, excuse me, I didn't want to surprise you. And we ended up talking the rest of the way, and she was new to Vashon. And we're going to connect. And she was going out of town, so it hasn't happened yet. But it just painting the show and being aware of newcomers made me more open to welcoming people and maybe inviting her to things that I do with my friends, or, you know, so that she can break in and start to have a community.
Well, and you mentioned early in the show that some folks had said Vashon is hard to break into.
Yeah.
So that's a great idea. I'm wondering if there's a way to use your show for people to say, gee, I'd like to get to know that person.
I wish. I mean, I thought about that. It wasn't because we couldn't have a real opening exactly because of COVID.
Right.
We didn't have anything like that. But I was hoping there'd be like somebody would start a Facebook page or something online where the other people that were new to the island could meet each other, you know, because sometimes you just have a lot in common just because of that.
Yeah, or some way for them to be invited specifically to things that are going on here, like at Snapdragon, or or to be able to volunteer for things like the Vashon Repertory Theater. We need you. Go to VashonRepertoryTheater.org if you're interested in volunteering for our summer fest, our theater fest at the end of July. But yeah, how do people get involved? I think parents might get involved.
Yes.
Through the schools.
It's easier for a family,
right.
I think.
Right, because they've got kids doing stuff.
Though a lot of, several of the families I painted were lesbian couples or gay couples. But one couple, Corinne and Stacy, Corinne is a is an artist too and has some paintings up at VCA.
Corinne Lightweaver.
Yes,
She's quite the artist.
Yeah. And she asked me, she took me aside. She came to the very small opening and she took me aside and said, I'd really like to, can you connect me with other lesbian and gay couples, you know? And I pointed her to a few that I know, but as a straight white person, I really didn't have something she could hook into. But at least I did introduce her to somebody who could kind of help her. But I think that if they're already in some kind of community, you know, like if they were lesbian or a wider community, they can maybe connect with people here. Like if they're radio people or...
Right. Yeah. And there are some folks who are gay and lesbian on Voice of Vashon who are part of our producing community. And I'm thinking, too, the artist community. If they want to get involved with VIVA, which is Vashon Island
Visual Artists.
Good. You're part of that.
Yeah.
And so I think there are plenty of ways for people to get involved, and they will find their community within those communities when they get involved. But it is important for us folks to welcome new folks. So what has been the response to your show, both from the subjects and from the community at large?
In general, of course, most people only say good things. So I don't really know what they're really thinking. But anyway, mostly I've gotten things online, and I have a little book there that people can write mostly nice things. Uh-huh. And I don't know that it's really changed anything, but maybe it's an introduction. Maybe it's a way of thinking a little differently. I know one family who bought some of their paintings, came in and had dinner at the hardware store. Now they have tables in the back where people can sit in the gallery, and they sat in front of their paintings and had dinner. So that
with
was
themselves.
Kind of, yeah, with themselves. And I heard about it. I wasn't there. The other demographic that Bruce mentioned was that there's higher income families moving here than there were like in the 70s when it was very cheap here.
And that's something that Connie Cunningham, realtor from Windermere Real Estate, brought up with me as well. She said most of the folks who are moving are tech employees, mostly with Amazon. She said there's a community of Amazon employees that is growing, much like the community of Boeing employees used to be here. Because they don't necessarily have to do the commute, and that the Boeing employee contingent is shrinking, probably because those folks are retiring, and because, frankly, commuter service or ferry service has degraded.
Right.
But she also said the fact that these folks have large incomes is raising the real estate values considerably. They can bid. It's a small inventory of homes, and they can upbid the home sales or the prices of homes because they can afford it.
Right.
And they want to be here. But
who can blame them?
Exactly. It's a beautiful place to be, but it makes it more expensive for anybody else who wants to be here. She said it used to be that, how did she put this? People were upgrading their houses here on the island, moving from one house to another. But she said that's not happening anymore. People who are selling their homes are generally doing it because they're relocating. They've been married. They've had a death or divorce. And I think in some cases, they've retired and can't afford the taxes to continue living here. That's me. That's not necessarily what she said.
Yeah.
But she said It's Econ 101, low supply, high demand, strong incomes. These new tech families are bidding up home values.
Yeah, well, we were, I just always think when people, because us oldsters can get so that we complain about stuff like that. But I always think, well, we are all new here. I mean, there's only two Coast Salish people living here.
That's true.
And who knows if they're still here even.
Right.
You know, so we're all transplants and it's a different time right now. And we're there. It's what's happening in our community. It's growing younger and richer. Which
yes.
is maybe a good thing in some ways.
Well, it depends on who you are.
Exactly.
If you're not young and you're not rich, well, you may not fit. But I think what it does do is cause a problem for the restaurants and so forth, for the employers. There are not as many people who are willing to work for minimum wage.
Exactly.
And that, I think, particularly since the state of Washington is raising the minimum wage, could be a good thing.
Yeah.
I walk every morning, and I started thinking this morning about the jobs reports that I'm hearing, and they are saying that people are not ready to go back to the jobs where they had to work long hours for low pay, and employers are having to improve those situations. And it started to make me think that, hey, you know, maybe we're beginning to become a kinder, gentler world in that the rest of the people are just not willing to work themselves to death so that the very rich can remain rich or get even richer. Maybe we're starting to balance things out just a little bit. And maybe Vashon could be an example of that. I do know there are folks who are trying to create affordable housing here.
Yeah.
And I do know the school district is looking at making things easier for teachers. So they can live here where they teach.
Right. It's a worldwide problem, of course.
Yes.
But
yes.
Maybe if everybody started in their own community, it could change. You know, if we thought of all the people that didn't have as much as we do.
And it seems to me that not all the folks you painted were rich tech people.
No, they weren't all.
So there were, other than the young farmers who came here, were there others?
Yeah, there were... like I said, many families, and one little girl who was, her dad is from Mexico, it came, Abriana, came to live with her grandmother here. But so they all had their own stories. I liked Flora Angel's story. I'm going to say her last name this time because I recognized the last name, but I thought, well, there's a family here on Vashon, I think they live down by Tahlequah. Anyway, and she said she had two little girls and they moved from New York City, from the Bronx, I think. And it turned out their last name is Slaughter. And I knew Ben Slaughter a long time ago. And now he moved back from New York with his, he's a doctor, I think. And he moved back to Vashon. So that happened a lot where somebody... grew up here, or the wife grew up here, and they moved back.
And they came here.
Yay!
Pam Ingalls, what a joy to have you.
Oh, thanks, Susan.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for telling us about the changing face of Vashon. You've been listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, here with you every Tuesday at lunchtime or at your convenience on thevoiceofvashon.org. And I want to thank you for spending a half hour with me, if indeed you did. Thanks for listening.